trying to create a museum, per se, for De Pere, we want to have a different type of gift. And he says, you know, if you thought about a cultural center where we can bring this variety of different experiences to your community, and that's really how it was born. And as he was driving through De Pere, he saw the big Mac Dental sign that was on the roundabout right by the river, and he looked and said, "And here's your spot. It's the most beautiful spot in De Pere, where you can see up and down the river. St. Norbert's is right across the river, and it's a very beautiful place to put it." So that was really kind of the genesis of where it started from.
This episode of The Sponge Show is produced and distributed by Be Connected, a social media management firm in Northeast Wisconsin.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another episode of The Sponge Show. I have a unique guest today that represents an organization called the Mulva Cultural Center, which is relatively brand new in the area, but we're going to dive in and we're going to learn a little bit more about that. And the reason why I say unique is because Marv, who I'll introduce in a little bit, he has a background in finance and semi-retired before finding himself in the position that he's at now. And we're going to learn all about that. We're going to learn all about the cultural center and dive in about what they are, where they are, what they have going on, and everything there is to know that you might not currently realize or might not currently know. So with that being said, welcome to the show. You want to introduce yourself, Marv, and what brings you here?
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me here today. I think it is a pretty unique story of how the Mulva Cultural Center came to be, and appreciate you giving us the time to talk about that today.
So for those who don't know, what is the Mulva Cultural Center?
The easiest way to say it is it's a gift from Jim and Miriam Mulva to the De Pere, greater Fox Valley area. Its mission is to provide culture, which covers a lot of different aspects. We don't want to be known as, you know, just a children's museum or arts or sciences or history or something like that, but it should encompass all of that. We've got a lot of different offerings. It's a real unique gift that, you know, Jim and Miriam's thought was, how can we give back to our community? They grew up in De Pere, they live in De Pere, they love De Pere. They'll come out and say, they've been around the world. They lived in a number of different communities between his military background and his time with ConocoPhillips. But De Pere was always home. They always came back and still loved De Pere. Still, you know, they have the opportunity to live pretty much anywhere they want. They've seen and been in a lot of different places, but they always came back to De Pere. And today, you know, they're electing to spend the majority of their time in De Pere and give this great gift to the community of De Pere and the Fox Valley.
Yeah, so I think I've had an opportunity to work with you and to get to see the center firsthand. But you come over the bridge or you go downtown and you see this beautiful building. A lot of times, it's relatively new and it was built during COVID, so it's not like people were hustling and bustling about. But it might not be what people expect it to be. If people aren't expecting it to house all of the stuff that they have going on, they might think it's like a headquarters for something or something like that. But like, it truly is a gem that is right in the downtown of De Pere and houses a lot of things that are really accessible to a lot of people. So what are the types of things that, if you're looking for something to do with your family or with kids, or if you got grandkids or things like that, like what is there to do within the center?
Sure. We want to be as welcoming, you know, as possible. There's so many opportunities there, and we don't want to have, you know, you have this very unique building, looks
awesome.
Looks awesome, right?
It does.
But we don't want that to put people off. You know, sometimes they think, well, that's not for me then, but we want everybody, we want it to be a place that the community can join and be in and enjoy the space. There's so many different types of offerings that we have. The main one is the large exhibit hall. So we have 10,000 square feet of a large exhibit. So that's kind of what you hear about most often, because that's the largest piece or the largest space inside the exhibit. And currently we have a sharks exhibit there, but that changes every 3 to 4 months, and we're always getting something new in. So we want that, you know, if one thing doesn't appeal to you, well, maybe the next one does, or there's just a variety of different things. And maybe to stretch people's minds and imaginations too, to say, hey, what is this about? Maybe I can learn something about it. You know, the current exhibit was built by the Australian government, and they know sharks. They right. If there's anybody on the planet that knows sharks, they do. And they get into a lot of the different communities or groups of people that interact with sharks. So the people from Australia or for Hawaii or Fiji, people that live with sharks and have a respect for them. I think the one of the things I got out of the exhibit was, in a normal year, maybe 4 to 8 people may die from a shark attack, but there's over 10 million sharks that die from interaction with people. So I think they're a misunderstood creature to a lot of degrees, and people, you know, with jaws and everything, everybody gets, you know, afraid of sharks. But they're like any other part of our ecosystem. They have their purpose, and without them, we're in a worse position.
And these are big exhibits, thousands of square feet.
10,000 yeah. square feet, right.
Yeah, so it's not just like, well, you show up, you see a couple photos, and that's it. I mean, it's as immersive, you walk around, there's stuff to do.
Very much so. And that, for us, every exhibit needs to meet a quality standard, and the Sharks one is one of the highest levels that we have. You want it to be, you don't want people to go in and say, oh, there's 6 sharks here, and walk out of the other side of the exhibit in 6 minutes. You want to spend time in there, learn things, and get an understanding of what you're looking at. I would say it could take you 2 hours to get through the shark exhibit right now if you want to read. And that's not reading everything either. That there's just a lot of interaction there. And to me, that's what makes a winning exhibit is something that you want to spend that time with.
Yeah. And nothing against other venues that are out there, like big halls or like, you know, any of the big tourist attractions that have exhibits that come for like a day or 2 days, and then they're in and out to try to get as many ticket sales as they possibly can. Like, what is, when you said that there's like a quality standard, what does that feel like if you're the visitor going through it? You know, like I said, without necessarily against anybody else that's a current venue that's out there or anything like that, but like, what is different about it for this if it's like an installation that's there for several months?
Sure.
And what does it feel like?
Sure. Well, you want to feel that you got something for it. You know, our price for our exhibit is typically lower than you see anywhere else to start with. So we want to have some value there, that you're paying something for it. It's typically less than what you would in larger cities. But then you want to, when you walk out, if it's with your family, you want your family to feel that they learned something that day. You know, if you have a mission of learning something every day or something every week, we're a good place to stop in, because you will find something new and something different that you may not have thought about before. The dinosaur exhibit was another good example of that. There's 19 dinosaurs, and if you bring a 5-year-old in there, they're going to run from one to the next and you know, streak through the exhibit. But if we can get you to slow down and read about, you know, these were from North America, and these were in a lot of dinosaurs had either feathers or different types of skin. We think of the Jurassic Park type of dinosaur, and that probably wasn't the majority of dinosaurs that were out there. So there's always something new and different that a lot of times you don't think about or know.
Yeah, and you can't really emphasize enough the quality of it. I mean, and the building helps, because the building is of the utmost quality and design. When you put an exhibit in there that is built for a long-term installation, that's not a weekend. It is an experience that rivals a lot of big cities. Like, mm-hmm. You go to a big city, you check out the museums that they have there, and it feels like that. It feels like that when you're going through it. You don't expect to get that in Northeast Wisconsin. Much mm-hmm. like you don't, if you're not from here, you might not expect something like Lambeau or the Titletown District or things like that to be in a community that's that size. I would say that if you go to the Mulva Cultural Center, you're not expecting to get that kind of quality and that kind of exhibit and that kind of experience in a community of that size.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree. And but that's the, I guess, the education that we need to give to our community is, you know, it starts with the building. We wanted to build a wall building, something that people wanted to come and see. And now our mission is to fill it with wall content between the exhibits. Even our screen in our auditorium is one of only three in the country. There's one in L.A., one in Houston, and now one in De Pere. That says a lot for the level of quality that we want to have our customers, our visitors come in and see.
Yeah, and speaking of, like, you want to educate people now. With that being said, there's a little bit of a thing you have to overcome when people see that kind of place and see those kind of exhibits and that screen that you're describing and everything, which is amazing, by the way. There's an assumption that comes along with it, like, oh, this is only for the really wealthy people. This is for the uppity folks, you know, like, it's very accessible. I mean, first of all, you don't even have to buy a ticket to walk in, right? It's for the community, right?
Correct.
And then second, when it comes to, like, the exhibits, you're not talking about a big price range, right?
Right. A single ticket is $20 for the exhibit. In going down for seniors and children and such. So it's very affordable. We always have an atrium exhibit, so those are free. You walk in the door, and we just moved one out. That was the Baseball Hall of Fame. I had pictures from that. We currently have one for the CP Center displaying some of their artwork. And then our next one is about presidents. So I know everybody right now has a little PTSD with the election.
Right.
So we're coming in maybe 2 weeks after that, where it shows pictures by the photographer for the White House. And he was photographer when Ronald Reagan was here and was president, and when Barack Obama was president. So he shows them in comparable situations, where it shows the kind of the humanity that they both had challenges and met with them. While some of their policies may not have been the same, they were still two men that cared about their country and
two presidents that, you know, one side really points to one and one side really points to the other, and they're both featured in this kind of experience.
Correct. And
yeah.
And we're not saying one's better or worse.
Right.
I mean, we're staying as apolitical as we can, which is where we want to be. But it shows kind of the humanity of both sides. And I think in today's very highly political environment, it's kind of refreshing to see that, yes, the end of the day, we're still people, and not to, you know, try and demonize one side or the other.
We could talk an hour just as far as, like, what is going on inside of the cultural center. But not only do you not need a ticket to go in, you have the atrium exhibits, but then you also have a cafe with food to go,
right?
Coffee, all stuff like that, but then a restaurant too.
Correct.
Can you talk a little bit about, like, the restaurant itself and, like, what you can expect there?
We're following the same model of quality. The words I used a lot or heard a lot are world class. So we want a world class building, world class exhibits. We want to have that same thought process when we're presenting food. We want, you know, to be some of the best food that you're going to find in the Fox Valley at an affordable price. So we don't want it to be at that high level of food costs, but then, you know, you're going to pay for it too. We want you to feel that you got a good value.
And do you people come in just to eat, right? Like, you're not talking about people that just come in to see sharks, right? Or see the exhibit that you have there.
Right.
People actually come in to eat. It's like a dining restaurant. Yeah,
absolutely. You're right. And we're getting the name of, you know, word travels fast in the food or in the Fox Valley when you have a good place to eat. And I think we have a really good chef and sous chef. Our whole team there does a really nice job between kind of elevating that level of food service, where you get the great experience of presentation of the food. The taste does an excellent job with tastes and textures. And it's a lot of things that, you know, you can have a hamburger that is, you know, your McDonald's type hamburger, or you can get something that is an elevated level and you feel that you get something special.
Yeah. So what was how did this place come to be? You talked about it being a gift and what they wanted and everything like that, but can you walk backwards a little bit in terms of, you know, the vision that was set out and what led to this gem that we have in a community.
Sure. Like all great things, it took time. There was a lot of time that went into the thought process of what should it be? What's the end product gonna look like? And Jim and Miriam are both from Napier, one east side, west side, and we can get into that whole issue too, but let's save that for another day. But they still love the Fox Valley community. So in Jim's corporate life, he worked for ConocoPhillips. One was in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and one was in Utah. Can't think of the town there, but both were small communities, and basically that Conoco or Phillips were kind of the company. Everything revolved around those companies within those towns. And when they merged, they moved to Houston. So then they kind of ended the relationship in those communities with ConocoPhillips. So they made a museum for each community that was kind of the history of how it grew in that community. And you know, once it merged, and how kind of it grew within each of those communities. And they had an individual that created these museums from England that came in and said, no, here's designed it, you know, what the kind of content was going to be in it, and kind of it had the thought process. So when they were thinking of what can we do for Napier, they brought this individual back in again. And he said, you know, it's a different situation. We're not trying to create a museum per se for Napier. We want to have a different type of gift. And he says, you know, if you thought about a cultural center where we can bring this variety of different experiences to your community, and that's really how it was born. And as he was driving through the pier, he saw the big Mac Dental sign that was on the roundabout right by the river, and looked and said, "And here's your spot. It's the most beautiful spot in the pier where you can see up and down the river. St. Norbert's is right across the river, it's a very beautiful place to put it." So that was really kind of the genesis of where it started from.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's fantastic that we have people that have the vision and generosity to be able to bring something like that to life as a gift. And I've had the opportunity to meet them, and I can tell you that without a doubt, I mean, their only goal is to have it be a gift for the community, and they're very, very passionate about that.
Absolutely.
About like we just want people to experience it. We just want people to come in and see it,
come in and enjoy it.
It's right? Not like, oh, we're just making a place for us to have, you know, this experience for ourselves. It is not for that.
Right. They're very giving in a lot of different ways. There's, you know, a lot of things that happen behind scenes and in a lot of things that happen in our community that people really don't know why or how, but and they're really not, yes, their name is on the building in this particular situation, but there's a lot of things that are done that aren't that same, you know, they're not that visible, and it's been amazing to meet people that are truly giving and want to make a difference, and not always, you know, have their hand raised and say, look what I did kind of thing.
Yeah. So you're in a unique position. You're running it day to day, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you see it becoming over time? Or like, what do you hope that when you're able to actually retire instead of like retire and then come back to help with this? What do you see it becoming? What do you see the legacy turning into long term?
In you know, in Northeast Wisconsin, we're blessed with, you know, the Green Bay Packers. That's kind of when you think of Green Bay, everybody says, oh, Lambeau and Packers, and have that name recognition, and that's what, you know, you're known for. Obviously, to get to that level is be hard to do, but we want to be able to, in our community, be and beyond. Be a place where people think of, yes, I want to go to the Mobile Cultural Center and see what's going on today. What's the exhibit? What's the film? Or go to eat type of thing. So have that top of mind recognition of here's something great to do in our community.
Are you okay with, well, I mean, you can't really determine what society says or does, but are you okay with people referring it to just like the Mulva, or what do you call it internally, I guess?
I use Mulva a lot.
Yeah.
Mulva Cultural Center is kind of a mouthful. So, I mean, Lambo is, you know, kind of the one word kind of to me is kind of a good way to do that. Or, I mean, the other great asset that we have in Northeast Wisconsin is a shrine, and you know, people recognize the name, know where it is, know what it is just by the name. So if people, you know, once you say the word Malbo, they know where it is, what it is, what we have to offer, that would be success in our mind, that, you know, people are knowing who we are and are coming to visit and see us.
And it takes time. I mean, I grew up thinking, like, if we were ever going somewhere south, like a city down, when I say south, not in the south, but like south of here, you know, we would say the Shed. Are you going to go to the Shed?
Sure.
As kids, you know, like everybody likes going to the aquarium, right? So I could see, I mean, you don't say, some people say the Shed Aquarium, but when I was growing up, it was like, yeah, we went to Chicago, we went to the Shed, we went to the Field Museum, you know, stuff like that. I could see that same type of draw for people that are in the area, families that are visiting, you know, did you get a chance to check out the MOLA or the MOLA Cultural Center?
Sure.
But either way, I mean, I just based on the quality of the things that come through there, the food, the atrium stuff, even just the fact of like going in to see what's going on, get a cup of coffee, like I could see it turning into a real destination for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also classes for people. I mean, even if you're not visiting, there are classes that you could just partake in on a regular basis as a gathering point.
Right. We're learning a lot, different things that the community, you know, wants and gravitates to. There was an art and wine, class.
Who doesn't like wine?
Both. Art and wine. Why not?
Right.
And so we're trying a lot of different things and seeing what works, what we need to tweak, one just recently we Andrea Bocelli is having a concert, in they're replaying it and now we're looking to have that. We just pushed it out on Friday and 3 dates that we're going to have it, and we're probably half full on one of the nights already, and the others are filling up. So it's finding those events that are out there that we can bring, that our community or can see maybe that particular event, but then they'll come and see the Sharks exhibit too, or come back for dinner a different time. So we wanted to appeal to a lot of different people in different ways.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for coming on the Sponge Show today, Marv. And if you're interested, check out the MOLA Cultural Center, which is in De Pere. If you go downtown, you can't miss it. It's a gorgeous glass building right on the river. Mm-hmm. After Sharks is done, what is on the docket next?
Sure. We have our full 2025 schedule out already. And the first one is a Star Wars. It's called Unofficial Galaxies. So it's it'll get a lot of people out there that were Star Wars fans. It's a private collection of Star Wars memorabilia.
Like from the late 70s, early 80s, that
right,
time
there's
frame.
There's a land speeder in there. There's the costumes from Darth Vader and...
like the costumes, not like somebody made one.
Right. Yeah, it's not a reproduction. It's actual ones that were used.
That's fantastic.
So it's a pretty neat exhibit. And again, that'll be right after Christmas. So that's our usual time frame, is this exhibit will go through with Christmas and into January, and then we'll load one out and load the other one in and be back up and running again for spring. Or actually, this next one will go through winter. So it's when Dinosaurs was here last, was the same time slot. And it's people want to get out and do things in our
cabin,
Wisconsin
cabin
weather.
Fever.
Cabin fever is kicking in, and get out and check out the exhibit. So the next two exhibits, or the next exhibit over the summer, is actually two exhibits in one. Our space is 10,000 square feet. So we have two 5,000 square foot exhibits. So if you get two for one, two smaller exhibits, but one is on spying and spy techniques, and one is on navigation, how... You know, before we had our phones in our pocket that told us where we're at and where everybody is, how did people navigate by stars and things like that?
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I like the spy stuff.
All right. So yeah, it's all on our website. The films are rotating constantly. So there's documentaries. There's a lot of different things there. So come check out one thing and ask questions about everything else, because there's so much more there. And I didn't even touch on our gift shop.
Like I said, we could have had an hour just going over like what there is to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
High quality, very, you know, sometimes it's the gift shop has things for the, you know, Sharks exhibit. But then if you're going to some Christmas shopping, now's a good time to get in. And I do all my Christmas shopping now just down the outside of my office. So that's great.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Marv. And check out the Malva Cultural Center if you haven't gotten a chance to do that. And thanks for joining us on the show.
Great. Thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me.